because I saw the end result of it in her life, and I thought that was worth mimicking in a way. So that's really how it's always been for me, just, a page here, a page there, every single day, a row of stitches right now. If I get through just one row knitting during nap time, that's fine. Because over the long haul, it really does add up, and it adds up a lot quicker than you think it does.
Welcome to Simplified Organization Podcast, 15-minute conversations with real moms about managing our homes and family life cheerfully to the glory of God. We can actually enjoy housework and love being homemakers when we focus on truth and work with gratitude. I'm Misty Winkler, a homemaker for 22 years and homeschool mom of five with two graduates now. I'm also author of the book Simplified Organization, Learn to Love What Must Be Done. I write and podcast at Simply Convivial, and I run Convivial Circle, a community helping women to excel at homemaking and do life cheerfully. And today I'm joined by my friend, Lexi Sauvay.
Hello. You said it right. Yay.
It was a couple of years ago, but I practiced.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Lexi is happily married to her high school sweetheart. They have six children together and live in northern Utah. Lexi co-hosts the podcast Bright Hearth with her husband. So yes, thank you for joining me this Saturday morning. See, it's morning because the light's just like hitting my wall.
Well, I'm super excited to be here. I feel like this is so weird. For like a decade, literally, when your newest book came out, I was like, I've literally been waiting for this a whole decade, and it's finally here.
You were one of the people that kept like, Lexi told me it needs to be a book.
Yeah, I'm super excited. So,
well, you're an old podcasting pro now, though. So, well, one thing that I love about you is about how much creative energy you put into your home. You have like mostly little kids, and it's a phase of life where I think we're all tempted to just like batten down the hatches, only do the bare minimum, try to just control everything and keep it contained, and that becomes our goal. But you have a tendency to add things that on the outside look like extras and like playing in hard mode.
Yeah.
So I'd love for you to just talk about some of those choices you've made and what creative pursuits you've tried and what, like how that's affected your ability to manage also all the normal stuff.
Yeah. So I think it was probably, I think it definitely started motherhood in efficiency mode, like what you talked about, just really trying to contain, get to the next meal, get to the next nap. I don't think I knew what homemaking was for and what I was for and what my people were for. And because of that, I remember friends telling me like, oh, you're just not the creative mom. You just don't do that. And I was really okay with that, but I also was not happy. And I wasn't necessarily connecting the two things. And I remember sitting on the back steps. I think I might've been pregnant with my third, and it had to have been you and Brandy. I know it was you, but I'm pretty sure it was with Brandy. And you were talking about the parable of the talents and just how, because God is gracious, he's actually expecting us to turn a profit on our work. And basically we should not be in efficiency mode. It's okay to be wasteful isn't the right word. I mean, God is generous towards us. And so we can be generous and not be worried about wasting money or time or skills or why. I've heard Rachel Jankovic say like, why am I knitting these tiny animals? And it just really made me realize like, oh, I have a stingy view of God, which is why I'm only surviving by the hour. And I'm not actually casting any delight in my work. So that was literally a life-changing parable for me to understand that God's expecting a profit from me because he is generous and gracious, and I don't have to worry about being wasteful. So after that, I think that same pregnancy, I had gotten my hands on even exile.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I was having my first daughter, and I realized through reading that I didn't really have much of a feminine or domestic inheritance to pass down to her, because I wasn't necessarily given a very robust skill set. And I kind of realized, if I'm going to be making 3 days a meal for this many people and then some for the rest of forever, I have to figure out how to enjoy this. So, I mean, I started sourdough before it was cool, like probably 10 years ago. I was actually vegan when I started sourdough. And that was one example where, for me, it was the science behind it was just a way for me to delight in my kitchen, in the work I was doing every day. I would notice that if I started to get really down in the dumps about food, I would go visit a new grocery store that, you know, maybe it seemed a little elaborate for me to shop there, but if I could shop there once every, you know, couple months and still feel excited about my work, that's what I was going to do. And it just kind of started growing, especially once Daphne was born. I really just started casting a wide net of, like, not for me necessarily, but I wanted her to have tried a lot of things, because I didn't really know what I wanted to do as an adult. And I wanted her to at least be acquainted with some different things. So that was really when I started dabbling in quilting. And I really mean dabbling, you guys. I'm not very good at anything, which also has its downsides in some ways. But I started garment sewing. I started crocheting. I started cheese making. I started canning, like anything. I even have a handheld spindle, because I had a friend, I was saying, I really want to learn to card wool. And she said, well, you know, there's a handheld spindle, so you could actually be doing grocery and making yarn at the same time. And I was like, hey, wait a second, I could do it yet, but I do have it. But it's just,
that touches the efficiency part too. Like two things at once.
It scratched both itches for me. So I just really wanted to have a wide net. I've always thought in those terms of, like, I want to have the tools on hand for my girls. And when 2020 happened, I was so thankful that I had spent a few years doing that, because it was the first time we were going from, it really made me realize how consumer based we were in our recreation in some ways. Mm-hmm. And I was so grateful that I had purchased all the books I hadn't read yet. And I had all these tools on hand to really dig into on our down days, and to just fuel some of that delight going into a new work week. So that's kind of, I feel like now that my kids are getting old enough, Daphne is old enough and she is knitting beside me on the couch, I am again having to, like, there was a form of death to self that happened when I had to start casting that wide net. And now there's a death to self that's happening as I'm kind of drawing in some of my personal pursuits to spend that time helping Daphne learn the skill set. So it's just, there's a little person at the door. So I am just, like, learning a new, it's just being sanctified more and more, further up and further in sort of a thing for me. So we're kind of drawing in now and being like, okay, what do you want to do? What do you want to learn? So, yeah. And I think, I was going to say, a living idea really can change your entire life. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of moms will stop because they don't want to, they're not satisfied with, like, the 5-minute chunks of time. And I think it was probably before I was even homeschooling that I had read Charlotte Mason's biography, and seeing her, I already knew what a width she had in her education, but then seeing her reading schedules and realizing she really was biting off little chunks at a time every single day, it just settled in my heart from the very early days that it is okay to plod, because I saw the end result of it in her life. And I thought that was worth mimicking in a way. So that's really how it's always been for me. Just, you know, a page here, a page there, every single day, a row of stitches right now. If I get through just one row knitting during nap time, that's fine. Because over the long haul, it really does add up, and it adds up a lot quicker than you think it does. So, that's kind of how I've gone about my homemaking, and I do really enjoy it still. So, and I'm still learning, and I still feel curious and interested in, and I'm never going to have, that's the thing, is I know this side of heaven, I'm not going to fully scratch that itch. I know that's for an eternal sort of longing that the Lord's put there. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, it seems like it is the idea that sparks, and then in doing, like trying a bunch of stuff out, it's the trying things out and the being willing to give things a small amount of time or to not be good at something for a while and to not even necessarily be trying to become a master or an expert, but just to try something out. And once that creativity and curiosity and interest sparks, then it's really not hard mode anymore. It might start out hard mode, and it would feel hard mode if you didn't have interest. But once the interest is sparked, then it's really adding life-giving energy, you know, desire.
Yeah. I remember, again, listening to you talk about when you're overwhelmed with the homeschool curriculum, a lot of moms' instinct is to like pull back and to pare down. And I remember you saying, how about adding a delightful subject? How about adding Shakespeare or adding Latin? And so I've thought about that so many times in my homemaking when I'm like, well, here's an example. This last fall, I was coming out of postpartum, but I didn't feel like my old self yet. And I was kind of like feeling discontent, the temptation to be discontent at home. And we're heading into cabin fever. And I just knew it was a moral problem that I didn't know how to knit yet. And so I started knitting, and it was crazy because it's not like anything else about my circumstances changed, but adding something back in really helped fuel everything else. I saw everything else in a different light because I was beautifying something, even if I couldn't change the circumstances. So, but yeah, I had thought again, back to that conversation that I heard you and Brandy have, like, okay, this is what is happening, is I'm adding delight into the equation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we get trapped in thinking that those things are extras that I add on to my life when other things are, once I have everything else under control.
Yes. Yeah.
And so then the people who are doing those extra things must have everything else under control. And that's why they can do things. And it's like, that's not actually how it works.
Yes. 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 That's it. That's it.
Lexi is smart, competent, and thoughtful. On her podcast, Bright Hearth, she and her husband delve into the practical and theological aspects of homemaking. You can find a link in the description to check out her podcast. And don't miss part two of our conversation, where we talk about how to go about dabbling and building our skills and confidence as women at home, all while we repent, rejoice, repeat.